The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome one, welcome all to the Air Raid Podcast presented by Viva the Matadors. You are on once again with the one and only Albie Shore. And once again, I have Dylan Smythe with me. What's up, Dylan?
What is up, everybody? It is a great day to be a Red Raider.
It is a great day to be Red Raider. And why is that, Dylan?
Because we took care of business yesterday.
Absolute business. For those that were living under a rock Saturday morning or Saturday afternoon, the Texas Tech Red Raiders decided to walk into Lubbock in the friendly confines of AT&T Stadium and whoop some ass. It was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, and if you listen to last week's pod, we kept prefacing everything by saying, like, it's Lamar. But, like you said, we whooped that ass. Like, I was expecting it to be a bloodbath, but a shutout and scoring 70 points was not what I expected whatsoever. So, yes, it was Lamar, but, yes, it was a good old-fashioned ass-whooping.
Yeah, and so that's the thing. And at the end of the day, everybody's really going to say, but it's Lamar. And that's true. And look, I'm in no way taking anything from this. It is Lamar. Lamar is not only an FCS team, but they're also a bad FCS team, right? Like, I think they're picked to finish in the bottom of the Southland Conference this year. But they're not a good team. I get that. And so when you're playing a team like Lamar, at the end of the day, you're still grading the team against itself. You're still trying to see, okay, well, yes, this is going to be a big blowout, but you know, what are some things we can work on? What are some things here and there? At the end of the day, excuse me. At the end of the day, when you go out and play a team like this, you're still expected to put up points. You're expected to put up points and stop the other team from scoring. And so to do it in a fashion of 77-0, I don't care who you play. I don't care if you play the Lady of the Lambs Nun School. It's still impressive.
Yeah, pitching a shutout. Which we had some questions after the Ole Miss game about our defense, but the defense clearly responded, and that was really nice to see.
Exactly. So that's the thing. I mean, last week, obviously, we were talking on the pod, and I was saying how we'll win this game, but if we struggle to win this game, it could be a microcosm for the entire season. And we didn't. Not whatsoever. The team had a 3-and-out to start the game and then went on to score on almost every other possession of the first half.
Yeah.
And that kind of shows that type of game they were having.
And I'd like to take this moment to talk about, if you've listened to the pod at all, you know I'm all aboard the Alan Bowman hype train. And I'd just like to tell you all, I told you so.
Bowman looked nice. There's no doubt about that. Bowman looked nice. 22 for 25, 282 yards. He had a nice control of the game, was slinging the ball around. I will say, Bowman looks absolutely ugly scrambling.
He's a pro style quarterback. Let's not try and pretend he's anything other than that.
He looks terrible. When he throws the ball on the run, it looks bad. Like, and it's not that he still completed passes, right? He still got the ball to his receivers. The thing that scares me a little bit about Bowman in the game was that when he was on the run and he made these throws, he was able to complete the throws because the receivers was able to get great separation because they're playing subpar defenders. It is going to be much worse and with tougher competition. That's the only thing that when he was in throwing the rhythm, he looked great on the run. He looked pretty bad. But we had a whole season last year with a quarterback like that. So I think we'll be okay.
Yeah, I think I said something along these lines in the game thread. There were a lot of throws. He was on the run. It was like off his back foot. It was like a sidearm. But somehow he found a way to get it in there. And I don't know if that makes me excited for his arm strength or really worried about like his mechanics.
Yeah, it's his mechanics need some cleaning up on the run. I think in the pocket it looks good. I mean, he looks very poised as an 18-year-old in the pocket, and that's really good. I mean, some of this other stuff is just things he's gonna have to clean up as he gets older. But But as far as him being a quarterback in the pocket, his arm strength looks great. I mean, let's face it, both Bowman and Duffy have the arm strength that Carter doesn't have. And some throws, that back corner toss to Jadeon Hyde in the first quarter was beautiful.
Oh, it just floated right into the corner of the end zone. It was perfect.
And those throws, the throws that he's the only quarterback on the roster that can make that throw.
Yeah, no doubt.
So it's great that he played fantastic. He played great. And it's, you know, it makes you're not as worried going forward with him now that he got a start under his belt. And you're hoping, and I asked Allie when she was doing the mailbag the other day if, you know, Bowman could have a Mahomes-ish type freshman year. And when I asked the question, I mainly meant, if you remember, when Mahomes came in as a freshman, he looked awful. You know, came in the Oklahoma State game, came in for Davis Webb, and he looked terrible. I remember telling people that were begging for Mahomes before that game, I'm like, man, no, this is a true freshman. He's not going to do it. He looked terrible. At the end of the year, Mahomes against Baylor looked like the Mahomes we know now. So, and a part of me sees maybe that's how Bowman's going to look too. I mean, last week didn't look so good. This week looked fantastic in just 1 week. So, I will say my boy, Jed Duffy, let me first preface this by saying he's not my boy, but I did tweet, and I know you saw the tweet because you responded to the tweet, that I wanted Jed Duffy to come up in here and show out this game. I like chaos. I like chaos. I wanted to see a little bit of a quarterback controversy. Oh, man, what about Jed Duffy? Da-da-da-da. Jed Duffy comes in and throws a pick on virtually his first pass. So I was like, well, there's the end of that.
And he had, no business throwing that football. No business whatsoever.
None. That was the worst part about it. It was just like, he was like, you know what? Yeah, I don't really like playing football. So he just threw the pick just so we can get this over with, right? But the rest of his time as a starter, he looked great. He looked, and I'll say this, it sucks that Duffy makes those type of mistakes often, because he's an exciting player to watch. Like, that second half, I was engaged. I was much more engaged with Duffy than I was with Bowman, because Bowman's kind of boring. Duffy is electrifying. He's, you know, there was a couple plays where it seemed like he could break it at any moment. He led the team in rushing with 6 carries, had 81 yards of rushing and a touchdown. Like, man, Duffy is just so much fun to watch play.
Well, yeah, I think he has the highest upside of any quarterback on our roster. But at the same time, like you said, he just makes the most mistakes as well. So it's like high risk, high reward kind of situation with him. And I don't think Cliff is in a position to start a quarterback that's high risk, high reward.
Yeah, I mean, and I get it. I get that. When I look at Duffy, I understand he can't be our starter. He just makes too many mistakes. It is what it is. And what it seems like is that neither Carter or Bowman are willing to make that mistake that Duffy seems to constantly make. And so I get I will say the drop off from Carter to Duffy, from Carter to Bowman to Duffy, it doesn't seem like a big one, right? Like, it doesn't seem like there's not a huge drop off from Carter to Bowman to Duffy, right? Like, so a few years ago, whenever Oklahoma State game happened and when Webb went out and Mahomes came in, it seemed like there was a huge drop off from quarterback. All right, we later find out that it wasn't the case, but, you know, sometimes you're worried, right, about, okay, well, ooh, our starter's going out, can the backup handle it, et cetera, et cetera. It doesn't seem like there's that big of a drop off from Carter to Bowman to Duffy. Like, if Bowman was to get hurt and Duffy came in, we'd be okay. You know, we know that, okay, well, Duffy, he can run the ball, he can pass the ball. It's a totally different dynamic with him. So I'm not too worried. I mean, hell, even Colt Garrett came in and threw a beautiful 44-yard pass. You know, like, just it's. I think even though we don't have that star quarterback that we've been praying for, I think none of these guys are that. But I do think that we're not losing much if one of them goes out.
Colt Garrett for Heisman. That 44-yard pass, it was probably the tightest spiral I've ever seen in my life. Like, it was perfect. It was incredible. But, you know, whatever. It's fine.
And that was our 4th-string quarterback.
Yeah.
And we didn't even see what Nick Gerber had.
This is true. Hey, let me ask you this. So, McClain Carter's still day-to-day. If he's ready to go for Houston, who's our starting quarterback?
McClain Carter would be our starting quarterback if he's good to go. But I will say, I truly think that's just Kingsbury coach speak. I don't see McClain Carter coming in anytime soon. The high ankle sprain, that's not an injury you come back from next 1 week, 2 weeks. It's That's an injury that I think he's probably going to miss at least the first four or five games of the season, at least. And so I get that, you know, Cliff likes to keep things tight, especially with his quarterbacks, but don't expect McClain Carter to come in back anytime soon. I think if he is ready for the Houston game, he'll play. But I also think that him being ready for the Houston game means that he would be healthy today. If he's healthy today, then yes, I think he would play for Houston. I just don't see that happening. I think we can expect Bowman at least for the next few games.
So last week on the pod, I told one of my high ankle sprain stories, and I'm here to tell you another one. Back in the day in college, I was a sorghum farmer in West Texas, and I fell off a tractor, and my right ankle fell in a ditch, and high ankle sprain. Boom. Anyways, yeah, I agree with you. I think it's coach speak, because high ankle sprains are no joke. And even if McClain Carter was ready to go, I'd still rather have Alan Bowman, but that's just one man's opinion.
Question I have now is that, so let's say I think the main reason we go to Carter now is simply because he hasn't missed much time. You still think he's the best quarterback, et cetera, et cetera. Let's say he misses five games into the season, and you know we're halfway through the season, and he's ready to go. Let's say he's ready to go just in time for the TCU or the Kansas game. I was thinking, you know, middle of the season. And Bowman hasn't looked bad. You know, he doesn't look great, but he doesn't look bad. Carter's still technically the starting quarterback. Do you put him in? I would say if he's missed, you know, if we're looking at the TCU Kansas game for him to come in, I'll tell you, by that point, you already have a starter. And it's one of those situations where, yeah, sorry, man, it sucks to suck, but Bowman's now our new starter.
Yeah, if Bowman gets the job done against Houston and wins one of those first two conference games, then no, he's the guy.
Yeah, definitely. So, but we've talked a lot about the offense. What about the defense? What did you like about them?
They gave up 0 points. That's what I really liked.
And it was great. And I will say this. Rico Jeffers, huge surprise in the game. Huge surprise in the game. And we talked about how Dakota Allen and Jordan Brooks needed to step up in this game. And they did. But I think I was shocked at how much playing time Rico Jeffers got. And how good, man, Rico Jeffers is the guy that we thought he would be when we first got recruited here.
And, you know, it's really funny because, like you said, we were like, hey, Jordan Brooks, Dakota Allen, where you at? And not only Rico Jeffers, but Tony Jones looked really, really good. And they both looked better. Both Rico Jeffers and Tony Jones looked better than Dakota Allen and Jordan Brooks in this game.
Yeah, and you're right. So I'm willing to say, make a proclamation, Tony Jones is our best pass rusher on the team. He is. I know we've been talking about Eli Howard, and Eli Howard's still one of our best. But I think two games into the season, a guy who's been consistent, a guy who's getting starter minutes that he wasn't getting last year, Tony Jones is the best pure pass rusher on this team, and I'm willing to stick with that. He was, you know, that blitz he had off the edge where he just was a man on a mission and just absolutely came after Darryl Colbert. He did it fantastically, and it's just he's the fastest D lineman we have, and he is, when it comes to getting after the quarterback, great. But the thing about Tony Jones was impressive. One thing he really lacked last year was in his run defense. Played much better in the run game this game.
And another thing we talked about was like, where was Justice Parker week one? And not even, we were just talking about members of the secondary. Where are you at, guys? And the one guy who really stepped up was not the name I was expecting to, Adrian Fry.
Oh, yeah. Adrian Fry had a great game.
Pick six and then another pick late in the game. It's pretty impressive.
Adrian Fry had a great game. And I'll say this, man. Darryl Colbert, he was miserable the whole game. We made his life absolute hell. 9 for 26, 72 yards. He had, he was under duress the whole time. Under the pressure, he can't let the ball out. The guys were knocking, or the secondary was knocking the ball down. They decided in the second half, Lamar was like, you know, let's go ahead and give the backup a chance. Backup was so much worse. It was just, our eyes lit up. And the thing about it, offense and defense, what I loved about this team on Saturday was, usually even against worse teams, you put in the backups and, you know, it trails off. You know, you put up 42 points in the first half, in the second half you don't expect as much because, you know, your backups are in. That's usually what happens, right? And so even after 42, I was thinking, okay, well, I wouldn't surprise me if we only score two more touchdowns the rest of the game, maybe let up a touchdown. That's usually what, it's not just us, it's just in general, that's usually what happens. But we didn't let up. I mean, we absolutely did not let up. You know, we had Sir Roderick Thompson, a guy that I didn't even expect to see hear his name this year, two great touchdowns. The backup defense still held the shutout. And the thing about it, everyone was talking after last week, where everyone saw Nick Saban get into his team in the second half after they were, you know, blowing the team out. Everyone was like, man, Nick Saban's still coaching hard. It's great to see. What about Bearded Cliff getting in his team's butt second half up 60, still coaching hard, still yelling at him, still dropping F-bombs? It was great to see. And the team responded, pitching the shutout the whole game.
Yeah, I think my tweet of the day was that Bro Cliff Kingsbury died somewhere inside that 5 o'clock shadow, and he did. It was awesome. It was great to see.
He absolutely did. I will say the one negative takeaway I have from this game, only one, we didn't force a lot of fumbles in this game, and it took us a while to actually get the whole first half. I don't think we had a takeaway the entire first half, so that did take some time. Second half came in, got some takeaways. I think we forced four turnovers in the second in the second half, if I'm not mistaken. But it did take us a little bit of time to get those. We're going to have to get them in the conference play. So that's the only negative takeaway I had. Other than that, fantastic game. Great game. We basically did everything that you would hope we would do against a team like Lamar.
Yeah, and one thing this game really got me excited for was a lot of the young players on our team. We mentioned Rico Jeffers, just a sophomore. He's going to be the dude next year at linebacker. You mentioned Sir Roderick Thompson, someone, yeah. We didn't know that De'Leon Ward and Trey Kane were going to be out coming into this game, but it was nice to see him and Tazan Henry step up. Tazan Henry looked awesome. Really explosive.
Tazan Henry looked fantastic. That was great to see. Now, I will say, seeing Sir Roderick Thompson, that tells me, okay, Kingsbury's going to use those redshirt rules. Because Sir Roderick Thompson, there's no way that he doesn't get a redshirt this year, right? And if you're going off the last year's redshirt rules, there's no way Sir Roderick Thompson plays in this game. But because we have the new rules, this is an easy game to burn a game. To say, okay, well, and from what I'm hearing, Ward could have played, and King probably could have played too. And they kind of sat both players out for, you know, we know who you guys are. We don't want you getting hurt. Let's sit you out. Let's get Felton some touches. Let's get Thompson some touches. Let's get Henry more comfortable. And it was great to see them all play. That being said, seeing Sir Roderick burst for what he did was great, but it also reminded me that this team is Lamar. I don't see TCU letting Sir Roderick do what he was able to do on Saturday. But it was great to see them play. Another good guy, another young guy that I saw play really well, and I'm excited for his future. Nelson and Benasor really held his blocks very well. You know, he didn't do much that you'll see on the stat sheet, but played really well in his position, as did John David Jr., Quentin Jones. So it's a very good. This is a game that you can really use the redshirt rules to your advantage and play guys that you wouldn't normally play, and they played well.
I think another player who might be eligible for that redshirt rule might be Eric Ekuzan. You're going to say the last name for me. How about that?
Ekuzanma?
Yeah, yeah. Because the receivers have been looking really good. And so I suspect if we don't need him, we might as well use that redshirt rule on him.
Yeah, and so Izukanma, he was a guy that a lot of us expected to play this year, right? To really lench on. We were talking during spring camp. Apparently, he looked really good. And I expected him even in the 2-deep. And so it was funny that the true freshman we saw in the 2-deep was Kashawn Carter. And Kashawn Carter looked fantastic in the game. Speedy receiver. He's a guy that can easily catch a 10-yard slant ticket to the house. Very fast. And so we saw him in the 2-deep. And Izukanma, we didn't really see much in the first game, but we saw a lot of Kashawn Carter in the first game. And so now he makes you seem like, okay, well, we thought we would see Izukanma during the season. We did see him in the Ole Miss game, just not as much as we expect. He now has two games burned in the redshirt rules. You wonder, if they're not going to use him, let's go ahead and use a redshirt on him. Maybe he plays the Houston game. Maybe he plays the Oklahoma State game. And, you know, they say, you know what, Izukanma, you're not going to play much else. Let's sit you for the year.
And I'm glad you brought up Kashawn Carter, because that dude can fly. He's got Jakeem Grant speed, and I'm excited to see him going forward, using him on like jet sweeps, bubble screens, maybe in the return game coming up sometime. He's an exciting player to watch.
So Kashawn, and I'm glad you compared him to Jakeem Grant, because like Jakeem Grant, these are two guys that were three-star receivers, but they were fast. They were three-stars simply because they were fast as hell, right? But they were three-stars also because they couldn't do much else except for speed. But like Jakeem Grant was a guy, came with Tech, all he was known for was speed. And if you remember, Jakeem Grant couldn't catch he couldn't catch cold at a daycare. And as he got older, got better hands, was better at running routes, was better at other stuff, and became a well-rounded receiver. And now he's out there in the NFL taking 102-yard kicks to the house, to where Keshawn Carter could be just like that. Keshawn Carter could go from just being a speedy receiver and just being known for that to becoming a well-rounded receiver that goes from, okay, yes, he's a three-star, but because his skill at a three-star in this thing is so great, we make him more well-rounded seated, he could become a great receiver in all other aspects.
And I think that's something Cliff Kingsbury does really well, is utilizing that speed and just playing to that strength. Like the little fumble Ruski play for against Texas, like small little plays that are just designed to get guys like that into the open field and showcase that speed.
And that is a Leach trait. That's what Leach did really well back in his day. Leach was never known for recruiting, but what he did was when he was finding his players, he wanted to find certain things about them that he could use to his advantage. So, yes, he's going to get a two-star Wes Welker and turn that two-star Wes Welker into a great player because he sees something in that Wes Welker that's going to help Tech. Even though he's not a four-star like the what Texas goes after, he's a two-star but does something that we can use. And Kingsbury does that very well, just like Leach did. There's other differences between Leach and Kingsbury that are obvious, but that is a trait that he kind of – patterned after the master. So I will say, Dylan, Tech wasn't the only team that played this weekend. We're going to brush up on some of the other Big 12 games. Let's start off with some teams that looked pretty scary. We'll start off with Oklahoma. Second week in a row, looked really scary. Beat UCLA 49-21. God, they're probably just going to win the Big 12 again, aren't they?
West Virginia, I think, is also another contender. Will Greer is putting up a Heisman campaign right now, but you're right. Like, there were a lot of questions about Oklahoma on defense, but they seem to be answered. There was the question of, is Kyler Murray Kyler Murray? And Kyler Murray, yes, he is. He's a stud.
Yeah, and he is. And so the thing about it is, Kyler Murray's not as good of a passer as Baker Mayfield. He's not. But he's a better athlete. He's a better athlete than Baker Mayfield, and he knows how to use both. He still can toss the thing around. So I think the difference between this game against UCLA and FAU was that we found out how much of a good of an athlete he was against FAU. But we found out that even though he's not as good of a passer as Baker, he still has touch. He still can sling the ball around. And, he still can throw that thing.
And not to mention, they have two really good backs. They got Rodney Anderson and Trey Sermon.
So now Rodney Anderson did get hurt in this game. So we'll see how that affects him going forward. I will say, one thing that sucks about it is that and that's the thing Kyler Murray has this year that you can even say Baker didn't have as much of last year, is that, man, Kyler Murray, Oklahoma has playmakers. CD Lamb, he saw that TJ Vasher catch and said, okay, well, let me see what I can do as well. That one-handed catch was fantastic. Goodness gracious, he's a beast, as is Hollywood Brown, yep. Both of them beasts, and, man, Oklahoma looks really dangerous. Speaking of, you talked about West Virginia. West Virginia also looked effing fantastic, and they also scared the bejesus out of me. Will Greer was my Heisman pick, and unfortunately, he's doing everything that I thought he would. They beat Youngstown State 52-17.
Yeah, and he had four touchdowns in the game, 332 yards. He piggybacked on his first week, and I haven't really paid attention to the Heisman race, but I imagine that he's near the top of it.
Right now, it's him and the Wisconsin running back.
As far Jonathan as Taylor?
Yeah, him and Jonathan Taylor, I think, are 1-2 in the Heisman race. But again, it's 2 weeks in the season, but they're both looking well. And the thing about it is Oklahoma might have the best receiving core in the country in Big 12. West Virginia's probably second. Flip them, and there wouldn't be an argument about it. So I don't think it's a surprise that the two teams with the best playmakers are the two teams that are probably going to be fighting for the Big 12 title. Another team that looked... it looked pretty well in there. Another route was Oklahoma State beating South Alabama 55-13. They also looked pretty good. Taylor Cornelius, again, his job is to get the ball out to his playmakers. He did that, 428 yards in the game and a touchdown.
And another team, TCU. I watched that game Friday night. TCU started out real slow, but they got it going late, and they looked pretty good towards the tail end of the game.
All right, but here's the thing. So I don't think TCU looked good. I mean, the second half, yeah, they put up 28 skunked them in the second half, and I get it. But to me, eventually, when you're playing a team like SMU that's not very good with the new head coach and all that stuff, yeah, eventually your talent's going to overpower them. I mean, I don't think I was ever worried about TCU losing this game, but I will say that I do think if you're a TCU fan, you got to have the question marks. Sean Robinson, again, didn't look good. He did not look good throwing the ball once again. You know what Sean Robinson is? He's Jet Duffy. He's Jet Duffy.
I can see that.
He is Jet Duffy. And so, and actually I'll say this, he's Jet Duffy. He might make a little bit less mistakes than Jet Duffy, but he's not that good of accurate of a passer. He's a good, powerful downhill runner. And so, he's a quarterback that doesn't, I don't exude any confidence in him. I don't think he's that great of a quarterback as a thrower. And so I don't think this, and the fact that he struggled against SMU, I'm looking at him saying, if you're struggling against SMU, what you going to do against a real defense? Yeah, they ended up, their talent overpowered SMU at the end of the game, but they shouldn't feel very good about the win, in my opinion. Another team that shouldn't feel very good about the win is Baylor. Baylor played UTSA on the road. In their defense, UTSA is not some scrub group of five team. They're decent, I guess. But 37-20, it was 20-13 at halftime. This game was closer than it should have been.
Yeah, UTSA has been moving in the right direction in the last few years. They had a first-round pick in the draft last year in Marcus Davenport, so they're trending in the right direction, but you're right.
Yeah, again, shouldn't be close. I will say, last week I said how in my power rankings that Jalen McClendon and Charlie Brewer might actually be quarterback competition. I think that was kind of shut away in this game. Charlie Brewer is their starting quarterback. He played decently, got the ball around, but I think in this game, even though they won, even though they're 2-0, I was reminded Baylor is still Baylor.
Yeah. Baylor is still Baylor.
And speaking of teams still being teams, let's get to our friends down in Austin.
Yeah, and it was just another – they got the win, but it was ugly.
Yeah, that's a – that, you know, they have moral victories. This is a moral loss. Okay, there's no way any Longhorn fan can feel any good about this game whatsoever, especially since you're about to play USC next week. This was just not a good game. It was an ugly game. A game they're up 21-0 at halftime, and Tulsa comes all the way back. Had a chance to tie it up. This was ugly. And now it has Texas fans doing what they did to Charlie Strong and saying, oh well, you know, maybe we should fire Tom Herman.
And that's just it's kind of the issue with college football these days is no one has any patience with their head coach. And it's like, it's a miracle Cliff Kingsbury has lasted as long as he has in this like political coaching climate. But yeah, you're right. It's kind of ridiculous they're calling for Tom Herman's head.
Yeah, no, it is. It definitely is ridiculous. Let the man work and see what he does. While he's working and seeing what he does, it is still going to be funny for us here.
Oh yeah.
They barely beat Tulsa. And I will say this, Texas and Texas Tech are in the same boat. Same exact boat, in my opinion. I think both teams are, if I had to rate them, I'd put them right even. Embarrassing for week one losses. The difference is, and now I get it that Tulsa is a much better team than Lamar. But Tech went out and did what they're supposed to do against Lamar. They went out 77-0 against Lamar. If anything, they did more than what they were supposed to do. I don't care that you think that, oh, it's just Lamar. Nobody predicted Tech would beat that team 77-0. Nobody predicted Texas would beat Tulsa 28-21, but there was a different reason people wouldn't expect that. And so, you know, Texas, very, very ugly win. But next week, both Tech and Texas and UT are going to be playing teams that they're probably going to be predicted to lose to next weekend. And if both teams go into this conference season 1-2, it's going to be tough for either one to get to a bowl game.
It's really funny. I've been seeing these commercials for this for the Texas USC game, and they're playing highlights from the national championship game, and it's like two legendary programs. And when you think about it, both teams have been reeling the last few years, so it's really funny that like 4 years ago this would have been a huge matchup, and when they scheduled it, it was a huge matchup. But now it's like,
yeah, like that's okay. But USC is still ranked, even though they did lose to Stanford in that game. USC is still ranked. People still expect something from USC, so I do think that I agree with you in that. But USC at least is trending, you know, in a direction that Texas wishes they were.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they still have a quarterback question over there too, as well. So who knows?
That's true. So on a better note, we do have Kansas that ended their
slow clap for our friends at Kansas.
Ended their long road losing streak, beating Central Michigan 31-7. I, for one, thought they were going to lose this game, so I can't sit here and act like it's Central Michigan. No, I thought they were going to lose, and it's where Kansas is at, to where they'd be favored to lose against Central Michigan.
There's only a few good things about living in Kansas, and I imagine one of them is like, hey, maybe once every 20 games we'll get a win.
And they, I mean, Puka Williams Jr. played really well for them. He's kind of their star on the team, and he played really well for them. Peyton Bender played decently. Kansas is still not going to have another win for the rest of the year, but it was nice. It was a nice little win. I got to take that back. They play Rutgers next week, so we'll see. That's a battle of the two worst Power Five programs in the country. So that'll be a nice little show.
Shout out Kansas, 46 game road losing streak, and they snapped it.
So we go to their in-state rivals, K-State. Lost to Mississippi State, but, I mean, I don't know what I would expect in this game. You know, Mississippi State's a very good team. Kansas State isn't. So they lost 31-10. It's what I expected.
Yeah, Mississippi State, you know, they're an SEC school. I really I really like Nick Fitzgerald as a quarterback, and so I'm not surprised that they lost. They did not put up much of a fight, though.
Yeah, but I will say this. I mean, Skylar Thompson and Alex Delton, neither one looked good. And I don't know what they're going to do at quarterback. I really don't.
Aside from the running back, Alex Barnes, like, they just, their offense is pathetic.
It is. And so I don't, that's going to be, that's, I think, the main reason they don't look good this year is that their quarterbacks, they look worse than they did last year. You know, at quarterback, and both players played a little bit last year. Now, last year they had Jesse Ertz, who was their main primary starting quarterback. But both Thompson and Delton played a little bit last year. So, and they look worse now than they did when they played. So, I really don't know what K-State's going to do. They're hurting for Ertz bad right now, and that's their main problem. But it didn't, that game really didn't surprise me.
Yeah, no, not really. And then lastly, we have Iowa State, who only put up 3 points against Iowa.
Yeah, and, you know, this is the game where, for Iowa State, man, every year, all the Big 12 is rooting for you to beat Iowa. You know, this is not just a game of in-state, you know, claiming rights. It's also a way for Big 12, we can pout our chests against the Big 10, right? And so I always like it when Iowa State beats Iowa, because Iowa State's kind of one of the lesser teams in the conference. And Iowa is a mid-tier team in the Big Ten. So when Iowa State beats Iowa, it's kind of a way to say, Big Ten, get off your high horse. Iowa State, a team that is right now, we're trying to figure out where they are in the Big 12. Was last year a fluke? How good they're going to be? And this wasn't very good by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, it doesn't inspire any confidence for me in Iowa State going forward.
It does inspire some confidence in the defense. I mean, the defense played really well, held them to 6 points up until the fourth quarter. You know, and so that defense is going to be something special. But if your offense is only – if you're basically saying that we can only give the ball to David Montgomery, and so the other team can just load up 8 in the box and we really can't pass the ball very well, that's not going to do much for you going forward.
I don't know the number off the top of my head, but I imagine it's very low. The amount of teams that have won a football game only scoring 3 points – yikes.
Remember that Virginia Tech Frank Beamer meme where there's 0-0 going into overtime? I do think that game ended 3-0 or something like that. It was like the worst
Beamer ball.
Worst college football game of all time. That was the game that I think Virginia Tech was like, we got to get this old guy out of here. That was the game. But yeah, no, it doesn't happen very often. So and it happens almost never, and Iowa State has to put up some points. So I will say that watching this game, I thought to myself, okay, well, that's a team we can scratch off the list of good teams in the Big 12, in my opinion. If you read my power rankings, I basically said that in the Big 12, it looks like we're going to have four teams that are really good and everybody else. And Iowa State was, who I had fifth in the power rankings, was a team, because they didn't play last week, we don't know where they're going to be. I got to put them in the everybody else category now. It wasn't good.
Four teams. So obviously it's going to be Oklahoma, West Virginia, TCU, and Oklahoma State. Are those your four? Yep.
Those are the four. Okay. Those are the four. Everybody else, nobody else looks good. Tech, we didn't look good against Ole Miss. Texas, 2 weeks in a row, they haven't looked good. Baylor, let's be real. They're not one of them. They haven't necessarily looked bad yet, but they're just not that good of a team. Iowa State is a team that have the talent, but the game they played against Iowa State, their offense isn't dynamic enough to really do much. Oklahoma State's out of the four that I said. Oklahoma State and TCU are the two question marks, because I don't trust either team's quarterback. I think both teams have the talent overall, but I don't trust Taylor Cornelius, and I don't trust Sean Robinson. And those, for both of those teams, is going to be – the difference is that with Taylor Cornelius, I know he's not going to make mistakes. I don't think he's had a lot of ability, but I know he's going to get the ball out to the playmaker and not make mistakes. Sean Robinson, though, for TCU, they don't have the playmakers Oklahoma State does. So they need him to be more dynamic, and therefore it's probably going to force them into more mistakes.
And speaking of playmakers, let's talk about some playmakers Texas Tech has in the NFL.
Like?
Patty Ice, or what does he want to be called now? What did they decide his nickname was?
So, yeah, so Showtime is the nickname his dad gave him when he was younger. And so that's that. I guess that's what we're gonna call him, Showtime Mahomes. But no, Showtime balled out Sunday. And really, all the doubters that I live in Houston, and so Houston radio, they talk about college football, and it always sucks listening to Houston radio talk about college football, because when it comes to big cities a lot of times are so focused on pro sports that they're not as good when they're talking about college sports. And so when they're talking about college sports, they try to kind of convey a fake sense of, oh, I know what I'm talking about, but I really don't. And in Houston, if it's not A&M, they usually don't know what they're talking about, right? And so, and they can try to act like it. Sometimes we'll get a call from a Tech fan or a TCU fan or whatever. I know the very few TCU fans there are. They sometimes call in. And, but they try to act like, oh, well, yeah, I know these players. I'm a sports commentator, so I should know. And so, Houston radio, they kind of dogged Mahomes a little bit, saying they don't really trust them. He's going to make all these mistakes, yada, yada. Well, take that, Houston radio. Take that. Pat Mahomes, 15 for 27, four touchdowns. Man was a beast.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. That was the narrative. Coming out of KC, everyone was super pumped up, really excited for him. And everyone else was just kind of like, is he heir apparent? I don't know. And yeah, he shut that down real quick today.
I will say, here's the thing. So the Texans, I'm a Texans fan. I live in Houston. Texans, when they traded up to get Deshaun Watson, I don't know who they liked more between Watson and Mahomes, but I do know that they basically have both players on the same wavelength. And I've heard, and I personally believe that their game plan was when one of them is drafted, we're going to trade up and get the other. And so if the Chiefs would have drafted Watson with the 10th pick, Texans would have traded up to get Mahomes with the 12th. I think they had him both at the same spot, and it was basically 1A and 1B, and when one guy is picked, we're going to get the other guy. And so I know, so as much as Houston radio doesn't know about Mahomes, Mahomes very easily could have been the Texans quarterback.
Either that, or I know the Saints were interested in one of two as well.
Yeah. And so that tells you Watson, who electrified the NFL last year. A lot of scouts were like, "Man, Mahomes right there."
Yeah, I think they're very similar talent wise, but I think Mahomes has that arm talent. He's got a freaking cannon that I don't think very many quarterbacks in the NFL have.
And yeah, that's the crazy thing. So you have this 23-year-old quarterback who can do stuff that Eli Manning can't throw as far as Pat Mahomes does. Two-time Super Bowl champion, future Hall of Famer, cannot throw the ball like Pat Mahomes can. So that to me is amazing. And I think the main thing that had people worried was his accuracy. If he could clean up that, no interceptions, no turnovers. Accuracy looked good today.
And it helps that he's just got weapons out there.
Yeah, Tyreek Hill is the man. I think, I said before when he got drafted, I think him going to Kansas City is the perfect situation. You couldn't have asked for a better situation. I will say that I think, but I will say there was some drops in this game today, some incompletions. So Patty Issa, we're gonna call him, still has some room to shore up on that front. But good job of taking care of the ball. Good job of getting points. And good job of showing up his counterpart on the other side, Phillip Rivers, and balling out.
And putting the whoop on former Red Raider Anthony Lynn's football team.
Yes. Sorry, bud. Sorry, Lynn. Lynn, you're my boy. Hate it had to be you.
Someone had to lose.
Yep. And so I mentioned it earlier, Jakeem Grant also, 102-yard touchdown to the house. It's pretty great.
And it was really cool to see Danny Amendola run off the sideline and greet him in the end zone, give him a big hug.
Yeah, that was awesome for two Raiders that didn't play together, but still is connected in the bond.
Yep.
In the bond together. Yeah. Speaking of wide receiver, you didn't get a pass today, but the fact that he is even playing in the NFL in week 1 of his rookie year, I think is amazing. Derek Willis ended the Browns losing streak. Did not begin a winning streak, but it did end the losing streak. but Derek Willis played. He seems to be primarily a special teams guy. I'm still in amazement that he made this team and guys like Dylan Cantrell didn't. So what Mahomes did is that he stuck it to the Chargers, who cut both Shimonek and Cantrell. And Cantrell is on their practice squad, but still.
And Shimonek, I think, landed on the Redskins practice squad.
He is on the Redskins practice squad, so.
On the same note as Derek Willis, Cameron Batson made the Titans, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and so Cam Batson, he was another one. Didn't get a lot of PT in this game because I think Cam Batson's going to follow the same trajectory as Jakeem Grant. I don't think we're going to hear much from him his rookie year, but I think eventually he's going to be a return guy and may possibly have some work in the receiving game as well.
And I think don't count out Dylan Cantrell just yet. He is on the practice squad, but that's primarily due to injuries. So he'll get right this year. He'll get another shot in the preseason next year, and we'll see what happens with him.
So I'm going to switch to the team they played today again, Miami. So Jakeem had 5 catches for 38 yards. Amendola had 4 catches for 26 yards. Who has more receiving yards this year for Miami, Grant or Amendola?
Amendola. Jakeem only really played because their Devontae Parker was out, and I think they had another receiver out, so he's typically not going to see those many targets going forward, but I think Amendola will.
See, and I would agree with that, but at the same time, I was still he led the team in receptions today. And so I was surprised how often that Tannehill went to him, you know. And I would expect Tannehill is a guy that doesn't have, even though Jakeem has been on the team for 3 years, you know, you would expect that, okay, well, let me go to Kenny Stills. That's my guy that I've been for a while. Let me go to some other guys. Jakeem hasn't really been on the first team ever when it comes to working with guys like that. So I was surprised how many times he was targeted. I think the answer right now is still Amendola, but I'm not going to be surprised if Jakeem has a breakout receiver year. Right? So I think I said it a couple pods back. I think he's going to have a breakout year. He is their primary return man, but it seems like he's going to get more shine in the receiving game as well.
Well, and a crappy quarterback's best friend is a speedy receiver who can run drag routes. So,
and Tannehill is that crappy quarterback. So
Aggie.
Aggie receiver. Miami really drafted an Aggie receiver to be their quarterback.
Yeah, he wasn't even a quarterback at A&M, but whatever, it's fine.
Yeah, that's why Miami is where they are. But Miami should have been the team trained up to get Mahomes. Mahomes to Jakeem. An Amendola connection? Oh, it would have been fantastic. It would have been awesome.
Who knows? It's not out of the realm of possibilities. Who knows? Come Jakeem's next contract, maybe Andy Reid will give him a call.
maybe. Kerry Hyder will be playing Monday night, as will Brandon Jackson for the Raiders. Both of them will have games. So nice little Red Raiders in the NFL update.
Yeah. So what else we got for the people today?
Not much else. It was a great Saturday for the Red Raiders. 77-0 against Lamar. It was fantastic. We'll be coming at you again later this week with a preview for the Houston game, which that Houston game should terrify everybody because Houston looked very, very good whooping up on Arizona. It was pretty scary to see that game before our game. So we have a little preview going.
Yeah, I won't give it all away. We'll save it for the preview pod, but I will say next week is when we really find out who we are.
Yeah. Yes, we will. That's a game. I mean, coming into the year, I picked that to be our best win of the season. It's gearing up that way. It won't be surprising if Houston's ranked going into that game or close to it. I don't put a lot on Jermaine Applewhite. I still think he's at best, but I do put a lot to Junior Briles, who's their offensive coordinator, and Kendall Briles has come in and made that offense electric again. And the difference with the team this year is Derek King did not play last year at the quarterback. They had question marks at quarterback. Their quarterback last year wasn't the guy. They found that out later on. Their quarterback starting and backup quarterback last year weren't the guys. Both of them played against us last year, and neither one of them were that any good. Derek King is good, and he is playing against us this week. So it's a pretty scary team, but like you said, I do think that we'll find out a lot more about this team in the Houston game than we did in the Ole Miss game.
Yep, big time. But anyways, so, you're gonna have to tune in later this week to find out some more about that.
Hacha. All right, everyone, make sure to comment on the View of the Matadors page how you like the pod. All that stuff. Also, make sure to comment on iTunes. We are on iTunes, on Blog Talk Radio. Let us know what you think. Dylan, where can they find you on Twitter?
Dylan Smyth, 92. I was killing it on game day.
It was. Dylan's a great follow. I'm a big critique on people's Twitter accounts, as some of you that have heard me talk about Jacob Harris's new refined Twitter account that is doing great now that he's been helped. But Dylan's a good follow. Make sure to follow him. Make sure to listen to him, especially during game days. Make sure to follow the Viva Twitter account. That's usually where you can see me on game days, me and Jeremy Gillen, pumping y'all up. As for me and my great takes, at Mr_AlbyShore, I'm always a great person to read and listen to and see the things that I have to say.
And so, as you guys listen to us going forward, you see we got a nice little back and forth. So there's going to be some fun smack talk between us going forward on social media. So that'll be fun.
Yeah, most definitely. Because I can't let Dylan win all the time. He needs to be humbled many a times. And this whole Alan Bowman playing well thing has gotten to his head. Thinks he's a genius now. So I'm going to have to bring him down with some other of his takes.
I am a genius.
So anyways, this has been the Air Raid Podcast with the Red Raider Boys. Y'all have a Red Raider day, people.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.